Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. Breaking news from the NBA. The Brooklyn Nets have just announced that Kyrie Irving is going to be suspended, and he will be suspended for at least 5 games. So it could be more. We will see if it's going to be more, if I'll ever play again with the Brooklyn Nets. Now, let me be abundantly clear about Kyrie Irving. I'm exhausted talking about Kyrie Irving. I have no passion, no energy to discuss Kyrie Irving anymore. This is a player that I used to root for. This is a player that I used to cheer for. This is a player that I used to really enjoy playing basketball. But this is even goes beyond this. Like, and it starts before what he did a few days ago. He's become insufferable. And he thinks he's so much better than you. And that if you dare question him or dare ask him anything, you're insignificant, and how dare you come at the great Kyrie Irving, and we should just all sit there and marvel at his excellence on the basketball court. I'm so sick and tired of this guy. And not only am I so sick and tired of this guy, it's laughable how the NBA, up until today, was afraid of Kyrie Irving. Adam Silver, no balls, overrated commissioner. Joe Tsai, fake statement. No balls. Bad owner. And the only guys that actually showed some guts and said the right thing and the obvious thing and the only thing was Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, and Reggie Miller. And I commend those three guys for saying what they said. But I was actually at the barber today. And my barber is Jewish, and I'm Jewish. And we were talking about this. And my barber goes, I don't even care what Kyrie Irving says anymore. And he heard what Kyrie Irving said today, and he goes, you can't even help that guy at that point if he can't say he's not anti-Semitic. He was asked today. We'll play the audio in a bit. Are you anti-Semitic? He couldn't give a yes or no answer. So what else am I supposed to believe other than he hates people that are Jewish? If you can't say you aren't, then why should I give you the benefit of the doubt? And that's the thing, too. Shame on the NBA for once again giving Kyrie Irving the benefit of the doubt. Because Adam Silver basically did nothing the last few days. Joe Tsai basically did nothing the last few days. And they thought Kyrie Irving, who is obnoxious, who is arrogant, and is pompous, was going to get in front of the cameras and make this right. For sharing a film that's anti-Semitic, and in the film it said the Holocaust did not exist. And has fake Hitler quotes in there. That's what he shared. And Kyrie Irving today, he sounded like a clown. He sounded like a jackass. And the NBA, Adam Silver, Joe Tsai, the Brooklyn Nets organization, thought he was going to conduct himself in the right manner today? Based off what? Why should you trust this guy for the way that he's handled himself the last 2 to 3 years? And there's sometimes where his heart and his intentions
and his charitable actions are directed in the right place. But there's no defending what he did in the last week. So now the Nets suspend him for 5 games, at least. And I don't think he'll ever play again for the Brooklyn Nets, because you know this. If you think Kyrie Irving is now going to get humbled by this and say, oh, wow, I really messed up. Oh, wow, I'm really wrong. You're a damn fool. I'll believe that when I see it. And I think he's going to say, the Nets betrayed me. Now I'm out. I'm done. I'm never playing for them again. And good. I'm fine. Good riddance to Kyrie Irving. Because I'm sick and tired of people being afraid of Kyrie Irving. He is not worth the headache. He is not worth the disgraceful things that he constantly does. I don't care how damn good you are at basketball. I grew up as a Nets fan. I owned gear, Kyrie gear, before he was even on the Nets. He is unlikable. This Nets team, the way that they've been operated the last few years, with all the star talent that they have, is an unlikable team. So if I don't see Kyrie Irving play basketball again for the Nets, I don't care. But now he's suspended for 5 games. And I can't say good on the Nets. Like, I can't say, oh, good on Josiah and Adam Silver for whatever happened behind the scenes. Because you were afraid of this guy from the start. And you keep on giving him the benefit of the doubt, and he keeps on spitting in your face over and over and over and over again. So I hope he's done with the Nets. I hope he never plays again with the Brooklyn Nets. But how this guy today couldn't just simply say, yeah, I was wrong, and I'm not anti-Semitic, I don't even know what to say after that. It's almost as if I'm reading like an Onion article over and over again. You can't believe what you're reading. Except all this stuff about Kyrie is true. So now he's been suspended for 5 games. And I don't know about you, Ryan. And we'll play the audio of what he had to say from earlier today. Because let's be real. The way he conducted himself today, it's amazing. And kind of scary how that was the final straw. It really is. But how anyone in that Nets organization, with the way he's conducted himself in the last few years, thought he was going to say the right things today? No shot. This guy's arrogant. This guy doesn't think his you-know-what doesn't stink. He thinks he's the greatest person to ever walk this earth, and he has the answers for everything. He's the same genius. Remember, Kyrie Irving, yeah, the earth is flat. He's that guy. That's Kyrie Irving. And this time, he was wrong to share what he put out there. And I don't even care if he says he's sorry or not, because he doesn't mean it. So why apologize for something that you don't mean? But in this case, you get held accountable. And it's about damn time that there's some accountability in the NBA. Because this commissioner has been so overrated, and he has no control over his league. Zero. No control over his league. And even Charles Barkley said it. Like, Adam Silver's Jewish. You think he supports what Kyrie Irving shared? Absolutely not. But for some reason, everyone is afraid of Kyrie Irving. Hold the guy accountable. And it's about damn time the Nets held him accountable. So I'm actually glad now that there's a 5-game suspension, because I hope the guy doesn't play again for the Nets. Because I'm tired of talking about him. The guy doesn't make sense, and he's a waste of time. And it's the same thing over and over and over again. And this is not the first time he's embarrassed himself. It's not the first time he's looked like a fool, and it won't be the last time. I guarantee it. Because this guy can never realize when he's in the wrong, and he always plays the victim card. That's what he does. It's the same script. It just adds on embarrassment after embarrassment after embarrassment. So, Hickey, how about you? I really think that he won't play again for the Nets. I'll be surprised, because I would have to imagine Kyrie's not going to handle being held accountable in the right way.
I'm with you 1,000,000,000%, because in this statement that was released by the Nets, basically said he has to reach some barometer, some benchmarks. They said that he was unfit to be a member of the Nets. Yeah. And you're right. He is not going to be humbled. He's not going to say, you know what? I was wrong. I'm going to listen.
And he already cut the check.
Inside. Yes.
So that playbook's out
which
the window.
One of the biggest BS things you possibly do. He tried to just write that away with
Why cut a check if you don't actually mean what you're cutting a check for?
Well, he thought he could just skate by like he did for everything else he's done so far in his career. Which that's brought negative attention to him, the team he's been on, whatever he wants to do. And now I'm with you. He's not looking internally. Let's say, because like you mentioned, all he had to do, whether he believed it or not, the easy thing to do would have just been, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt anyone, and move on. And even that, again, whether you believe it or not, it's a whole other thing, it's a whole other discussion with Kyrie. He could have easily put this to bed and just avoided controversy, avoided drama, and just move on. He chose to speak his mind, which has gotten him in trouble, and now, like you said, he's not going to look internally or feel bad or feel accountable now for this 5-game suspension bare minimum.
Pardon me for not knowing who tweeted this out there, but I saw something today. That conversation in the Nets media room afterwards, after Kyrie Irving did talk with reporters, one reporter said, I've been in a lot of marriages. Sometimes you just need to say that you were wrong, even if you don't think you're wrong. And if Kyrie Irving would have done that, not that I want him to apologize or something that he doesn't actually acknowledge that he did wrong, like with something this serious, what does that mean? But it was so easy for him to get out of this. All he had to do was get in front of the cameras today. The link I shared was wrong. I apologize to everyone that I offended. I don't hate Jews. I'm not anti-Semitic. And I need to learn from this and be better. You simply say that. What are people going to question you on? That, like, there'd be questions in a press conference, because that's what a press conference is. But if you would have just said that, this is over with. And I would have moved on. I would have said, okay, whatever. But how long the Nets were afraid of this guy, and how he just continued to embarrass them again and again and again, it's like the Nets get what they deserve for giving this guy the benefit of the doubt.
So I'm trying to think. This story, or Joe Sy first put out a statement, I believe it was last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So they played Saturday, Sunday, I think at least one or two others. So he's had at least three games off the top of my head.
Once again, Adam Silver and Joe Sy had no balls came to this.
Joe Sy, Adam Silver, 3 or 4 games, post-game scrum, media scrum today. He had at least, 6-7 opportunities?
Well, not only that.
And was given opportunities.
Not only that. It was almost as if Shaq, Charles, and Reggie Miller talking about this is what put pressure on the NBA. Because those are people tuning in to watch basketball. And good on Chuck, on Shaq, and on Reggie Miller. In game, before game, after game, talking about it. And I think this brought some heightened awareness to it. Because this didn't just go on for a day or two and then fade away in the news cycle, which a lot of things happen. I give credit to those three guys for continuing this and actually speaking their mind. Because they were three of the most honest people about this situation when so many other people were afraid to say what was right.
When did Adam Silver's statement come out? After the TNT show.
Yes.
When did the Nets suspend Kyrie Irving? After the TNT show. You're right. They gave him opportunities, and like idiots, they thought he was going to apologize.
They thought he was going to get in front of the cameras today and say, I was wrong. I messed up. I want your forgiveness, and I'm going to work with people in the Jewish community to right my wrong. That guy's not going to say that. He never gets held accountable because he's great at basketball. So he thinks he can get away with everything. Clown. That's what he is. A clown. So here's the statement from the Nets. You know what? Do I even need to listen back? I was going to play back Kyrie, the sound from today. Do we even need to waste our time with that? I'm not wasting my time with it. Hear him say that he can't even say that he's not anti-Semitic? Like, I need to hear that? Right? When he answered a yes or no and then given a follow-up, it's a very simple yes or no. He won't say it. Why do I need to subject myself to that bull crap? I'm not. Here's a statement from the Nets. Over the last several days,
We have made repeated attempts to work with Kyrie Irving to help him understand the harm and danger of his words and actions, which began with him publicizing a film containing deeply disturbing anti-Semitic hate. We believe that taking the path of education in this challenging situation would be the right one, and thought that we had made progress with our joint commitment to eradicating hate and intolerance. We were dismayed today when given an opportunity in a media session that Kyrie refused to unequivocally say he had no anti-Semitic beliefs nor acknowledged specific hateful material in the film. This was not the first time he had the opportunity, but failed to clarify. Such failure to disavow anti-Semitism when given a clear opportunity to do so is deeply disturbing, is against the values of our organization, and constitutes conduct detrimental to the team. Accordingly, we are of the view that he is currently unfit to be associated with the Brooklyn Nets. We have decided that Kyrie will serve a suspension without pay until he satisfies a series of objective measures that address the harmful impact of his conduct, and the suspension period served is no less than 5 games. I'm going to share a story here real quickly. I was in college, and I was a part of a Jewish fraternity. And we had, like most colleges, you have intramural sports. We were on an intramural floor hockey team. Before a floor hockey game, someone on the other team tweeted out, "I'd be damned if we lose to a bunch of Jews, hashtag Heil." Now, this became a very big story at Temple University. Huge story. And since I was heavily involved in student media and people knew I was in this fraternity, I was asked to give a quote to the student paper. And I said, as a Jewish man, to the student paper, "I don't want the kid to get kicked out of the school. I would just like to have a conversation with the guy, with the kid, you know, with a fellow student, to just see where he was coming from, how he has these beliefs, and I would like to educate him on the past." That's all I asked. That's all I said. I wasn't looking for blood. I had every right to, but I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't looking for the person to be canceled, but I wanted to have a conversation. I never got that conversation, clearly. But this is similar. Like, I would like to have an open conversation. Actually, it could be a private conversation with Kyrie Irving. And I just want him to understand why what he shared was so hateful. Because we live in a world now where there's a lot of hate. There's been hate in the world for a very long time. And we've seen religions, races, all have to deal with hate. But to put down another group, I just don't get it. Like, I remember saying at that time, we're all students. We're all striving to reach our potential. And for this guy to post what he did about my friends and me because we're Jewish, I remember saying in the moment that I just don't even understand why someone would do that. We're not all perfect. People make mistakes. You live and you learn. But you got to be willing to learn. And Kyrie Irving clearly wasn't willing to learn why what he did was so wrong. Because it's so obvious. It is so obvious to realize what he did was wrong. And he failed to do that. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Pro Football Hall of Famer Alan Faneca will join us next.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. It is The Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now. We'll chat with the Pro Football Hall of Famer and Alan Faneca. We'll chat a little bit about football and also his battle with epilepsy and the Steps Towards Zero initiative. Alan Faneca, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So what do you want people to know
about the Steps Towards Zero initiative?
Well, the Steps Towards Zero movement was launched by SK Life Science, and our goal is to help educate, inspire, and activate the epilepsy community. We're always striving for what your zero can be for you. You know, the zero is different for everybody, but we're trying to activate and engage the community and to help everybody find out what they need to do. And they can go to stepstowardszero.com, find ways to help re-engage a conversation with your doctor, communicate with other people, join the conversation with other people who have epilepsy to help people know that you're not alone, and just really rethink where they are with their epilepsy journey and to help remove the stigma of epilepsy. You know, Hollywood does a really good job of selling what they think it is, and a lot of people with epilepsy kind of hide behind that because they're nervous or afraid or for whatever reason they might have. But to kind of step in front of that and own it a little bit, and sometimes it's easier to own it when you know other people are in it with you, which is kind of why I'm here talking today.
So you made the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You reached the highest of highs in terms of levels when it comes to being an NFL player. You're one of the greatest guards of all time. How did you battle with epilepsy throughout your career, and what do you want people to know about your journey?
Well, you know, my journey started as a freshman in high school. Christmas Eve was my first seizure. You know, and I was took some long time to find the right path for me to find out what was going on with me, to get diagnosed and to really find the right medication treatment for me. And I know everybody with epilepsy goes through that in their own form or way. And, you know, it never stops, right? We're always doing something to maintain our health, our body, trying to do the little bit of extra things that we have to do when you have a disease or a syndrome like epilepsy. So, you know, it's just one of those things that we go through and deal with, and we keep plugging and moving along. And that's one of the things that I like to talk about.
Did it ever almost derail your football career, just wondering?
Well, you know, in the beginning, you know, this is back in 1991 and pre-internet, so you don't get your answers right away like we do today. So there was a long period of understanding what epilepsy is, understanding what I was going to be able to do. You know, that those months, long months of finding the right medication dose, you know, are we going to find one, knowing what's going to happen, what's the end result of this going to look like for me once you, you know, get there. And the real answer is that you never know what the end result is, which is why we're doing this, to get people. So many people lose their, they don't lose it, but it becomes normal is what I say. It becomes normal. You know, you haven't visited your doctors in several months. You don't know what else is new out there. It could have been years since you've seen a doctor and had a discussion. So that's why we're trying to activate the community to get out there and start those discussions again with your doctors and your support group.
The Pro Football Hall of Famer Alan Faneca here with us. I want to chat a little bit about LSU with you. Brian Kelly, in his first year as the head coach of the Tigers, got off to a slow start, but now sitting at 6-2 in a big game this weekend against Alabama. What have been your impressions in year one of the Brian Kelly era in Baton Rouge?
You know, a slow start, like you said. Definitely a slow start, but, you know, I think it's starting to pick up some steam right here, and it's starting to get everybody excited of where we are. You know, I think roster-wise, we're still a ways away with, you know, the gut that happens when a college coach leaves in today's NCAA. But things are looking good. Now, I think really excited for a big game this week and just seeing how it's all going to play out for the Tigers at home at night.
Your Steelers, you know, you won a Super Bowl with them. You're one of the all-time great Steelers on the offensive line. What do you think about the direction of the franchise? Because this was one of those years where you went into it and you felt like with Pittsburgh that they just didn't have a team that could make a Super Bowl, let alone be a playoff team this season.
You know, they're going through their struggles. They got the growing pains with the young quarterback. Now that he is the QB1. You know, other things are happening. It's not just him. It's a little bit more of a team thing, and I think some of it gets thrown on his shoulders. But there's definitely some work that needs to be done all around the team, especially on the offensive side of the ball, to be a little more consistent, help out the defense that is still playing really good despite losing their number one rusher there on the edge. It's it's tough to watch, but you still support them and hope for the best. And I think I've been in those situations in those seasons where things don't look good, and for all intents and purposes, you're probably not going to make the playoffs. But there's still work to be done. You can still work to improve and build the building blocks that you can stand on and start your next season off better.
Where's your confidence in Mike Tomlin that he's going to find a way to turn this around maybe for next season?
Oh, Mike's found ways ever since he's been there. So I think Mike's going to find a way, whether it's in the normal spot he looks and finds it or if he needs to go looking somewhere else. So I don't have any problem with Mike and what he's going to do and how he's going to find the way to fix it, because he's a guy that doesn't leave a stone unturned and puts in the work and the hours and the energy to find the right people to get things turned around.
Wrapping up with the Pro Football Hall of Famer Alan Faneca on the Zach Gelb Show. Were you surprised that they traded Chase Claypool for the Bears' second-round pick?
I was a little surprised, especially since it breaks from a normal Steelers tradition dealing with trades. But it leads me to wonder if there was something there that they knew ahead of time, maybe what he was wanting contract-wise or, something maybe that us as fans didn't know for them to make that trade right here in the middle of the season.
Before we let you run, everyone remembers your career about the Steelers, with the Steelers, and obviously you ended your career with New York and then the Arizona Cardinals. The Jets, you got to an AFC championship with them, and I know they were rolling, and then they released you in that offseason. No one ever expects to get cut, but sometimes you get some hints. Did that shock you in the moment? Because that was one move I never got.
It did catch me off guard. It's one of those things, after the fact, we were just really, we had some bad communication on my part and on their part. I had a shoulder issue, and I think they thought it was more of a problem than it was. And, they thought I was trying to delay surgery just to steal one more year, quote unquote. But I wasn't. I was really feeling okay. So I think there was just a bad communication on how I was feeling, on how I expressed it to them, and vice versa, where they thought I was. And it just led to what it was. It sucks. But, going back on it, looking on conversations I had after it all went down, I started to see concerns and those thoughts. And maybe I wasn't expressing myself the best, and they didn't come right out and ask it as well. So a little bit of bad communication on both parts.
How did you compare playing in Pittsburgh to playing with the Jets?
Oh, man, completely different types of organizations. Family-run organization in Pittsburgh to, anything you need and want in New York will do it for you. And so kind of a bigger picture when you get to New York, as far as just the staff and support team around it. So it was definitely a bigger run group than in Pittsburgh.
And one more time before we let you run, if people are interested in learning more about the Steps Towards Zero movement, how could they find out more about it?
First off, you go to stepstowardszero.com. You'll get all the information you need to talk to your doctor and join the conversation, and how to revisit your history and find out your new goals and figure out what you need to do. As well, you can go to social media and hashtag Steps Towards Zero, and Life Case Science will donate $1 to the Epilepsy Foundation if you use that hashtag and tell what your goal of zero means to you.
By the way, how much weight are you down? You're looking really slim these days.
I'm down about 75 pounds from when I played. Got down to 100 at one point, just to say I got down 100.
That's awesome. Well, we appreciate the time today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good stuff right there with the Pro Football Hall of Famer Alan Faneca. And this season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app and WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. It's a Philadelphia and Houston night. In Philadelphia, it's the World Series. Pretty big game number five. This series tied up at 2 games apiece after the Phillies got no hit last night on a combined no-hitter by the Houston Astros. And so far, it is the bottom of the second inning, and these two teams have exchanged a run apiece in the first inning. And the Phillies right now have a man on first with two outs. And between the Texans and the Eagles, the Texans actually did strike first. They were up 7-0. And then on fourth and goal, Miles Sanders had a rushing touchdown. Extra point was good. So 7 apiece in that contest as the Texans are getting the ball back with 1:33 remaining in the first quarter. All right, hot take, Hickey. Let's get to a little week 9 of this QB or that QB.
I remember the determinations are for this week and this week only. Not a season, not a career, one game, this game.
This may be the best thing you do.
Huh.
Because you always give that clarification, and it's a very important clarification because people could be listening, and not that I would say I'd rather have Davis Mills over Jalen Hurts for this game because I would take Jalen Hurts. But if I was just to say a quarterback that isn't better but it's a more favorable spot, then someone could be listening and be all up in arms and go, oh, what are you, an idiot? Have you watched football? It's just for this week only. So good job on you. Always remind me to give that clarification.
We don't want to upset the masses. You know, that's our job here. Keep everyone calm. Let's go with a nice little young quarterback battle. Tua Tagovailoa playing really well so far this season. And Justin Fields, nice little revitalization the last few games. He's playing really well himself. So which quarterback would draw that for this week? Tua or Justin Fields?
And the Bears just got Chase Claypool, too, for a second-round pick.
There you go. That's right, a weapon.
This one's not even close. Tua Tagovailoa. He's 5-0 in games that he starts and finishes this year. He's the much better quarterback. And he has Tyreek Hill and also Jalen Waddle, who likes to waddle like a penguin in the end zone. That could be the best celebration in football right now. I like the gritty a lot, but the waddling like a penguin is awesome by one Jalen Waddle. So I will take Tua Tagovailoa this week.
Especially because anyone can do the gritty. You know, it's not special to one person.
Not anyone. Well, I can't do the gritty.
But you can do it
Mike
in a
Gesicki
sense that
can't do the gritty.
No, he cannot.
And Ja'Marr Chase made that clear that he can't do the gritty.
I wonder if you're Gesicki, if he's doing that on purpose. You know, get a little extra.
Oh, at this point, you got to continue.
Because it's just so bad.
You're a big tight end that probably doesn't have the best dancing skills in the world, judging by his gritty. I got no problem with that.
So here's one where the clarification could come into play. We'll see. Aaron Rodgers has been struggling so far this season. Take on the Lions and Jared Goff. Would you rather have Goff in this game, or would you rather have your quarterback be Aaron Rodgers?
Are you serious? What are you, a clown?
You never know. I'm not inside your brain. I don't know what's going on.
Are the kids home from school tonight?
I know you've been tough, we'll say, on Jared Goff, even when the Lions at one point, like week
the
two.
The number one rated offense. We can't win games.
They did have the top rated offense on their defense.
How'd
the
that
worst
work?
In the NFL. How'd
that work?
Well, you can't stop anyone. It's hard to win
Aaron
games,
Rodgers,
I will say.
Aaron Rodgers. This game will be closer than what people think, but Aaron Rodgers. If you put
Aaron Rodgers on the Lions. I actually would pick then the Lions to win the game this week, but I can't trust Jared Goff. Give me Aaron Rodgers.
Some are calling this the game of the week. Colts going to New England. Sam Ehlinger making his first road start, taking on Mac Jones, who has struggled so far this season. Which quarterback would you rather have, Mac Jones or Sam Slingin' Ehlinger?
Mac. Sam Ehlinger is going up against Bill Belichick. Good luck. Patriots defense going to roll the Colts. Give me Mac.
As you called him, Taylor Ham Heineke.
You like that one.
2-0, I do like that one.
Taylor Ham Heineke time.
He has
better
than
peanut butter jelly time. Taylor Ham Heineke time.
I don't think anything's better than, selfishly, and nothing's better than peanut butter and jelly time. It has its own song.
I just made the Taylor Ham Heineke song.
Maybe the Commanders fans hopefully listening. Drop the Farmers commercial Commanders sling and take that one up.
By the way, for the peanut butter jelly time, do you know what peanut butter they use in the music video?
Don't say.
Do you know what peanut butter they use?
I do not. I've never seen the video.
Skippy.
I lost all respect for that.
I actually have no clue. I've never seen the video either.
Oh, okay. I was going to boycott that song. But okay, so
you had your sarcastic moment earlier in the show talking at the Texans. Skippy is the best peanut butter. That is a serious statement, but I knew that would grind your gears a little bit.
Anyway, back to the important matters. Taylor Ham Heineke.
Base is now loaded, by the way, in Philadelphia with two outs. Bases loaded, two outs in Philadelphia. Justin Verlander struggling.
Safe to say those World Series bugaboos are still popping up.
With Rhys Hoskins, who has a, I don't know if I want to say a sock fetish. That's probably not the right word. He has a
sock
hobby.
Obsession?
Yeah, collection? Thank you. A sock obsession. He has all certain types of socks when I interviewed him when he was in Double A. That's what he told me. That was his interesting fact about him. Big
now he's wearing
sock guy.
Team issued socks today, in case anyone's wondering.
Very nice jerseys.
Yeah, the powder blues.
Very nice Philadelphia jerseys tonight. Good job. You got to win.
Job.
If you're going to wear those jerseys tonight, you got to win.
I would agree. Also like the Texans. You're wearing the red jerseys, red helmets. You got to win.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Now,
that's a must-lose game if you're a Texans fan. You want to lose.
Well.
You need to lose.
Other fan bases could agree. I could disagree. Yeah, pump the Texans up. Get a win.
By the way, you're a little fraudulent.
I'm fraudulent.
Mm-hmm.
In what way?
You think just having like a red out or a white out and the environment of games actually means then that team's going to win. And that's how you try to hype up. I've realized this on Twitter. Every time Penn State has either lost or you try to justify Penn State's incompetence, it's, oh, well, our fans are better than everybody else. Like, before that Ohio State game, you tweeted out,
I don't know how Ohio State's going to play today against Penn State, but I'll tell you this, if the Nittany Lions lose, it's not going to be because of the fans.
That's
right. And
fair.
Then you went after Michigan for the maze out. You're like, oh, that's embarrassing, blah, 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 blah. You're such a snobby douche when it comes to your college football team in terms of the whiteout that you guys do or the polka dot out or the stripe out, every single thing that you do, that you think that makes you guys actually a better football team than you are. But anyway, this is this or that.
I think atmosphere has something to do. I think I'm a uniform geek, so yeah. I see the Phillies. They're fresh. I see the Texans. Uh-huh. They're looking good. I think that if I was in Vegas, mm-hmm. I would adjust the line according to if there is a color-coded fan out and or if there's special jerseys in play. I would make Vegas, I think, a lot of money. With that said, are you taking Kirk Cousins this week or Taylor Ham Heineke?
Little revenge game here for Mr. Kirk Cousins. You like that? You like that? I'll take Kirk Cousins.
Two quarterbacks that have underwhelmed so far this season. Derek Carr with the Raiders. Trevor Lawrence with the Jaguars. Game is in Jacksonville, if that means anything to you. Which quarterback this week would you rather have, Carr or Lawrence?
Can I take Derek Carr but have him be coached by Doug Peterson?
Sorry, I was drinking some water. No, there's no stipulations here. I'll take this offensive line. I'll take that receiving group. Let's go to the other team.
Let's have the Jaguars have a baby with the Raiders, and the offspring will be Doug Peterson coaching Derek Carr. Because then I feel pretty confident about Derek Carr.
Also, if we get Justin Jefferson come over from the Vikings, a little borrow for a player. He's going to be on now that his half Jaguars,
and can
half
we get
Vikings
Calvin
team?
Ridley eligible for this game?
Come on, Roger. You can throw him a bone here.
Yeah, like let's like just bet that Calvin Ridley could actually play this week or something like that. If you put those two teams together next year, wouldn't it be bad? Doug Peterson, Derek Carr is the quarterback. Bring back Josh Jacobs with Travis Etienne, Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, Devontae Adams, Darren Waller.
He has a healthy hamstring. Not bad. Good defense, Josh Allen.
Trayvon Walker.
Some peace on the defensive line.
Ugh, this is the ugliest one you've asked me. Is this the ugliest QB matchup of the weekend?
In terms of being... I would go Mac Jones, Sam Ellinger, because I don't really trust either quarterback. This is close, though.
Typical Hickey Patriots haterade.
And I'm hating my own team, too.
Yeah, your backup quarterback. Real tough of you. I'll go Derek Carr. Derek Carr. Don't feel good about it, but Derek Carr.
Here's a fun one. Let's go from bad to good. Geno Smith going to the desert, taking on the man who got paid, Kyler Murray.
Just for this week?
Just for this week only. Which quarterback would you rather have?
I'll take the man that leads the NFL in completion percentage, Geno Smith.
That's a good one. That is a good one. And last one here. Big matchup here. Better on paper than we thought going into the season now that it is right here. Rams at Bucks. Two teams struggling. We'd rather have Matthew Stafford in this game or the GOAT himself, Tom Brady.
Wow. Both these teams, too, have been bad. Bucks 3-5, Rams 3-4. Both of them get zero protection up front. Is Cooper Kupp playing in this game?
Have not seen yet.
Okay. I'm pulling a hickey here. I'm thinking long and hard on the radio. And I'm in a silent stage.
I'm actually a little surprised. I figured you would. I don't know. I don't want to say what you're going to pick. I would assume.
Yeah, I'm
you
going
pick
Brady.
Brady.
I'm going Brady. I'm
and
going
I
Brady.
Thought you'd actually be a little more. Like, this is the second hardest you've thought outside of Carr and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and
sort of telling in one way.
Yeah,
in terms of a close matchup. But
I'm going Brady. I could. I'm kind of leaning that the Rams are going to win this game. But I'm going Brady. If you put Brady on the Rams, I think that team looks a little bit different.
Do you want to waste your time?
What are you going to give me? Mahomes against Ryan Tannehill?
Actually, I think Ryan Tannehill's out. Malik Willis against Patrick Mahomes. Or would you rather, which one would you rather pick from? Malik Willis versus Patrick Mahomes or Andy Dalton versus Lamar Jackson?
Did you see Derrick Henry? Hold on real quick. You see Derrick Henry didn't practice at all today as well?
I did not see
he
that.
He was out of practice on Thursday.
Rest?
That's a good question.
After running for 200 yards again against the Texans? Give those puppies a break?
It says here on Pro Football Talk, Titans running back Derrick Henry has insisted the foot that made him limited in Wednesday's practice is fine and he won't miss Sunday's game against the Chiefs. But Henry was still one of the few key players who weren't on the field for Thursday's session. So, that's that. All right, what was the one that you asked me?
So which quarterback battle you want to pick from? You rather do Willis Mahomes?
Mahomes.
Or you rather do Andy Dalton versus Lamar Jackson?
Lamar.
That's a tough one.
Now, which team I'm more confident in to win? Chiefs or the Ravens? The Chiefs. Saints are a weird team. Now, Michael Thomas out for the year, so. Man,
he
wasn't
that guy
playing anyway.
Playing, huh?
It's kind of sad what happened. Last 3 years, nowhere to be found, always constantly hurt. And that guy was, for a few years, the best wide receiver in the NFL, one of them. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Devontae Smith in the red zone as the Eagles are slowly moving the ball down, or quickly moving the ball down the field in this 7-7 game. And it is now 1-1 in the top of the third. Astros got out of it. 1-1, top of the third between the Astros and the Phillies.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.